It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I see you have a new corner. I enjoy it. I see you've got Prince there. I appreciate it. And you've got Michael Stipe. Nice. R.E.M.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here. Check out the episode in the series. I do hope you hit that subscribe button, of course. I put out three new interviews every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Recent episodes have included my conversations with actor Jason Scott Lee as we talk about the 30th anniversary of Dragon, a Bruce Lee story. Country star Carly Pierce, the band Daughter, John Roberts from Bob's Burgers. We had Dave Davies of the Kinks, Inhaler, Cowboy Junkies, Travis Van Winkle. Arnold Schwarzenegger came on to talk about FUBAR, actress Jemima Kirk, Phil Collin from Def Leppard, Belinda Carlisle from the Go-Go's, Susanna Hoffs from the Bengals, and so much more. All recent episodes at the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, I once again talk to one of my alt-rock heroes, Louise Post. You know her as part of Veruca Salt, one of the founding members of Veruca Salt. She has just released her debut solo album called Sleepwalker. We're going to get into the story behind the project, which sort of emerged following the formation of a completely different band featuring another co-front woman, and included the recording of an EP that's yet to be released. She'll be discussing the tumultuous Trump presidency and how that provided ample inspiration for a songwriting, covering subjects ranging from notable female pirates to the personal trauma that influenced her experience as a sleepwalker when she was really, really young. Louise is also going to explore the unintentional connection between her solo album, this solo album, and Veruca Salt's Ghost Notes, something that maybe I shoehorn into it, actually. But with that, you know, we're going to geek out on some other artists, Kate Bush's Hounds of Love, and lots of pop artists like Imagine Dragons, Melanie Martinez, Billie Eilish, and Taylor Swift, and how they all had direct influences on her songwriting during this period. So let's get into it and talk Sleepwalker. It's Kyle Meredith with Louise Post.
Hey, Kyle. How are you?
I'm great, and it's great to see you again. Last time, was it just last year that we talked about the Vault release that you put out?
I feel like it was last week, but yeah, I think it was last year. It was really fun. It was really fun.
Yeah, and you even told me at that point, you're like, oh, by the way, I've got a solo record that I'm working on, the first one under your own name, and here we have it, Sleepwalker, that I can't stop listening to. And I'm not just saying that because I'm already a fan, because I think I say that about all your stuff, but I cannot stop listening to this album.
Wow, that means a lot. Thank you so much, especially coming from you, because you Well, because you are a fan of my previous work with my fellow musicians, so and you get a lot of music coming your way. So the fact that you have been listening to this a lot is really a high honor. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, you do all the heavy lifting in this compliment here because the music speaks for itself. Of course, you mentioned, and for anyone who doesn't, I don't know why they wouldn't, but you know, the other work that you do, of course, Veruca Salts, and the amazing work that you've done with them. But this is, again, this is the first time that it's just Louise Post right there on the marquee. We talked about this a little bit last time, but let's go ahead and start there. Why? Why is it this record now and it's you?
Well, when we got off the road for Ghost Notes, I really wanted to tour more, but it wasn't in the cards for my band. It was for a variety of reasons. And the main one being small children at home. So it was like nobody wanted to leave their kids at home. And that was a big, you know, and I think that's a pervasive problem or challenge, I should say, for men and women alike in music, who for whom touring is the bulk of their income. And for him, it's very important. But they have, you know, with their families, it makes it very challenging. I think possibly, if I may generalize, it's hard, maybe harder for the women, in my experience, I should just say. But I can't say with all certainty that's the case. But that's my experience. So with that being the case, we set out doing some other things. My band partner and I, Nina Gordon, and have worked on some other projects together, but not musical. And these songs just came about sort of without my, you know, sitting down and intending to write a record. They were just making themselves known to me. With some other people. I had a band I put together. It wasn't like I set out to put together a separate band, but it came about that way. We made an EP yet to be released, and yet to be discussed. And this record just was really kind of making itself known to me. And I generally live by the philosophy of just go where the love is and really swim downriver, not up against the current. And that's where this led me. So I ended up writing this record and making it on my own with collaboration with some other very talented people. But it's my baby.
So there's an EP that's not released. I'm going to go ahead and grab onto that one right away. And then you went ahead and started working on this?
Yeah, exactly. the EP was with a band that was fronted by another woman with me. And it came about very naturally. We started doing some co-songwriting. At the same time, I was writing so much and so just at such a pace that and some of the songs were clearly mine and not meant for that band. It felt important to me to say, not to segue into another band fronted with another woman, but to do, to really branch out as a solo artist just of my own right, just keep it really simple. And then to like release this other music and continue with them at the perfect time, because I'm deeply proud of that as well. So I've been busy during free pandemic and pandemic, and all of these songs were kind of running through my head constantly. And, you know, it really felt like some divine hand just reached down and pulled me, you know, out of my pandemic malaise and shock. And I should say that the Trump malaise is shock as well. And the existential crisis I found myself in, and said, get to work. You have work to do. Here it is. Here are these songs you're supposed to be writing and releasing. And I thought, well, this is what I do naturally. This makes sense to me. And I guess it gave me a sense of purpose and a sense of hope. And I, in doing so, I was poo-poo this. I was downplay it because it feels so self-important, which is cringy. But the importance of music, of other people's making and releasing music, is never lost on me. The importance of my making and releasing music is lost in me on me. And so this time I tried to just listen to that voice and to say, no, Louise, this is important. Actually, you need to do this. And even if it's for five people, even if it's just for Kyle, you have to do this.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Louise Post.
There are the songs on here, well, like Pirates. I mean, right on the opening track with Pirates. And the sound and the guitar, I don't know who you're singing about. It seems very directed in some way or something. I mean, and I think that goes for a lot of the songs on here because, you know, we can all, I think every song could be about a million different things probably. But even just like, I don't know, let's just start there. Why not? I would love to hear about this song because it does just arrive on this album as the opening track so ferociously.
That couldn't be nicer to hear. That's exactly what I hoped for. And it was one of the first songs that was written for this record. And it came out of my sister-in-law telling me over one summer in Wisconsin that if you were to Google, we were on a walk and we were discussing my niece who has muscular dystrophy, collagen 6. And we were discussing what the F we can do and our, what can we do? And we were in discussing what we can do in terms, because this was new information at the time. And she's so incredible and such a fighter and such a badass. And she was 7. So we were, on this walk talking about this, and we're like, I've known my niece since she was born and love her dearly. And we were talking about her, her spirit, her fighting spirit. And then we got to talking about this queen of the pirates that Jesse said, my sister-in-law said, if you Google Queen of the Pirates, there's actually the most prominent famous pirate of all time was a woman. And just Google her. And or maybe she said, Google female famous pirate. I'm not sure if she said Google Queen of the Pirates, but that's what the Queen of the Pirates came out of, that because I found her. We talked about her and how she, this incredible woman, and ruled the Southern Seas of China for many years with her deceased husband's, I think, best friend, or I can't remember her relationship to him. I should have gone back and done this before I talked to you today, but he, it was behind a guy, his name, essentially. She couldn't, not as a woman, run all of these, this entire fleet, but she could run it under his name, like behind him. And everybody knew it was her. So she lived the successful life as one of the most incredible pirates, and most successful pirates, famous pirates. And she was ruthless. And one of my favorite things about her is that she had these rules, right, on her ships. And one of them was rape was punishable by death, execution. And it was bad. Slit your throat, throw you overboard. And I was like, yes, that's my kind of woman. So anyway, I was really intrigued by her. And I wrote this song like in the cabin on that juncture. And it was in part about her, in part about my niece, Divya, and And then I think that a little bit of me came in there as well.
So especially putting it as track one almost allows for like a persona, you know, if you want to give that.
Yeah. It's funny because it really was a persona. And yet it's like I stepped into her clothing for that song.
I love it. I can't listen to that one enough. And that's, I mean, even though, so we're talking about, you know, some family stuff here and obviously some historical here, but naming it Sleepwalker, as I understand, also allows you to sort of look back at your own childhood, because the Sleepwalker for a while, at least, was you, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I used to sleepwalk in my house, around my house. My parents were going through a lot of strife, and I think I was picking up on all that, and possibly this is the way I was processing it. I also had nightmares, night terrors, and they never knew when they found me sleepwalking or when they found me sitting up screaming in bed, if they should soothe me back to sleep or wake me up, because that could be more traumatizing. And they didn't know a lot about sleepwalking at the time, or I'm not sure if they understood what was going on with their child. And I recently tried to talk to my mom about it. She's like, yeah, well, I don't know what was going on. Still doesn't know. Like, mom, you guys were in a terrible place. It was just preceded the divorce. So I'm pretty sure that might've had something to do with it. But they would tell me to stop playing piano, which was my favorite thing to do. And I would not want to stop playing piano. And then eventually they would pry my fingers off of the keys and make me go to bed. And I would come down in the middle of the night, dead asleep, and just be banging on the piano tunelessly. And they'd come down and find me. I'd wake the family. And my brother told me recently, my big brother told me that he would hear me down there playing just like one single note, you know, some kind of poltergeist movie. And he would come down and just be like, who's in the house? What is that? And then he would see it was just little me down there, little 7-year-old, 6-year-old me. And then finally, I actually one night just woke up and went downstairs, unbolted the door, and walked down the street to my friend Millie's house. Maybe I thought it was, you know, I'd rather be at Millie's, or I just felt like going. I don't know. But I walked down the street, and on my way, they wouldn't open the door, which was really maddening to me. I didn't know why it was so dark. And on my way back, the night watchman, we were on a private street, and he woke me up. And I screamed and started sobbing because I was in my underwear in the middle of the night. So a little, you know, this must have been very strange for him. And so for the album art, I went back to St. Louis. I asked my little brother to photograph me because he had made this beautiful book called Ghost Town as St. Louis Sleeps. And I was looking at, so I was leafing through it and looking at it. And I thought, I want Eric to photograph me for this album cover. And he wasn't able to, but we did it in his neighbor's yard. And my dear friend, Nina, different Nina, came to St. Louis and shot the cover. And when you see the inside, and I'll make sure you do, you get to, there's a gatefold and it opens to, I'm sleepwalking on the front. And the inside is a little 7-year-old girl sleepwalking in the same exact spot. And it's her, it's my niece, who favors me a lot. Her name is Elise. So anyways, just for me, it was very meaningful to do it that way, to shoot it in St. Louis with the giant trees and with the leaves crunching under our feet. And it was a little cold to my liking, but that's how that came about.
I did see a still, I think when they sent me the private stream of the album, because there's a picture of it there. And my first thought, because I didn't know all about that, which is makes the story even better, but there was that ghostly thing. And I said, man, just coming off of an album called Ghost Notes. And then you have this sort of, it's like this, talk about personas, I guess is what I'm getting at. Like there's something that maybe lends itself there. I don't know if that's embedded in you psychologically, what that is.
You know, you're the first person that has made that connection, including me. I have not until this moment. So I think there's the connection that I would make straight out of the gates with those two things is that we were certainly on Ghost Notes, Veruca Salt, were Nina and I especially were really looking backwards and trying to piece together what happened and making music out of it. So hence the Ghost Notes and just putting together all the memories and like some sort of forensic study, like why did we break up? What happened to us? Like, you know, and looking way back, and some of it, some of those songs were about also about childhood and growing up, our fathers and our families, and like The Sound of Leaving specifically comes to mind, but Alternica is about like what it was like to be in the world of alternative rock and thematically, yeah, it was like that. And this is also wistful in that way. But I've always identified as a sleepwalker. And I've met other people who are sleepwalkers who say, oh yeah, I'm a sleepwalker too. And I feel this just like with like another Sagittarius, I feel this affinity with them.
In a very similar story, more compact, I guess, my son, when I went through a divorce and he was three, it wasn't around me, but my ex-wife had said that he did the same thing, that he never made it to a piano or got creepy, but he would walk just from his bed to her bed, kind of mumbling, like, you know, not making sense at all, and then just crawl in but never wake up. And I could see it in my head, and it looked just, I can't imagine being your brother coming downstairs and finding you at the piano, just one note again. Like, she's possessed.
I know. It must have been so weird. Yeah, I just found that out too. I thought it was just one event where I was banging on the keys and my brother said, oh no. There were a few times. It was eerie. It was creepy, is what he said.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Louise Post. I mean, thinking of it through that lens, what this album then gets to become. You know, we talk about a persona anyway with Queen of the Pirates, but what, I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, then do you give yourself that allowance? Does the album get to speak to your childhood in that way? Or is that just little parts of it?
I would say that a lot of this album is... And I love, I was just talking deeply about the record Hounds of Love the other day by Kate Bush. It's one of my favorite all-time records. And I feel like in that record, I think she takes on a lot of different personas in that record. But what I feel like the through thread is like themes of water, weather, storms, family, home life. It's almost like you're getting these... like windows into her house growing up, or like her family and what it felt like. There's a song called Mother Stands for Comfort, which is one of my favorite songs. And another song called Dream of Sheep. And et cetera, a cloud bursting and morning fog. It's like, and ends on this very hopeful note, which is how I really wanted my record to end. And I feel like there's a lot of, like domestic themes in this record for me. I didn't set out initially to make a solo record per se. That didn't ever feel like really important to me. It just sort of started making itself, and then it felt good and it felt right. And I was like, okay, we're doing this. Me and myself.
The royal we. Yeah, sure.
And then it became a we, me and my producer, who Matt Dronick, who really strongly believed in me and wanted to collaborate on this with me. And ultimately the person who became the drummer on the record, Robin Holden, was also really literally and figuratively instrumental in making it. There was a lot of love from the people surrounding the record itself, and some various players who I invited in, and yet this was my baby fully through and through. And there, I think that for me, it feels like a lot, some looking back and wistfulness, and wistfulness is kind of a gross word, but you know, like. I was listening to the song Hollywood Hills yesterday, and I realized, God, this song kind of makes me sad. But it's also comforting. Like, it sort of pays homage to a specific time and a time that is now past. And it's kind of opening up a time. It's like opening a book and then closing it again. And a lot of the songs are more about like looking again, like getting that window into a home life, into seeing through the walls, looking into the kitchen, looking into the bedroom, looking into, you know, it, well, this would be like the, I guess, the interior of someone's mind, but in terms of the present, like houses, families, marriages, relationships, all that good stuff, the juicy stuff. And like the challenges that lie therein, and just grappling with all of it.
Yeah, you mentioned some names. I'd made a note to ask, is there another voice in all these years?
No.
No, it's you? I couldn't tell. It was one of those things like, that could be her, that could be someone else. That's a good studio trick.
Oh, interesting. No, that is all me. There is another voice on Hollywood Hills. A friend of mine named Maria Patterson, who played bass with me for two tours on Lords of Sounds and Lesser Things, an EP that I put out in 2005. She lives in New Zealand, but she remotely added bass and vocals to that, and then did something similar on God I Know.
Well, you know, I think I could just go down through the track list here, and it's like, love that one, love that one. I will say, what about that song? What about? I was thinking, like, if I were 15 and I heard that track for the first time, that would have been one of the ones, like, my emotional hearts, you know, on repeats, like, oh my God, she gets me. Even at nearly 42, I think I'm doing the same thing, like, over and over. The way it builds and that repeating line, you know, it's like perfectly. I mean, it's epic. It really is.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Very close to my heart.
Well, yeah, they all sound close to your heart. And then there's the styles of it, too. I mean, the All Messed Up. I mean, so, you know, you start in this rock world, but then it just morphs and changes all throughout the record. And that one, it's like, that's when I start noticing, oh, some of these are like, they're pop songs. Like you and I talked about, like Phineas and the influence of, you know, music that your kids have got brought to you and everything. Is that one of those moments?
I think that naturally happened. Yeah, I didn't set out to write something like that, but I was listening to that. I was listening to pop, and I love pop. so it's just naturally where I went on this record with some of those songs. And then I tried to keep it real with Killer following it. don't go too far off the grid, Louise. Like there's these, I keep talking to myself in this interview. I don't know if that's weird, but as my internal voice was like, all right, like let's throw the fans a bone. I'm not sure if they're going to stay with me all the way through this, but yeah, no, I love All Messed Up. It was a little bit of a play on a previous song I wrote on the record Resolver called All Dressed Up. And I had been, I was listening to like, I have, you know, we all have our playlists, and there's this Imagine Dragons song that I love called Follow You. I will follow you and all wherever you may go. It's so good. It's for me, that song is perfection. And this song was definitely influenced by that. And it was also, I think just the combination of like, Melanie Martinez, Girl in Red, Billie Eilish, Yes, Phineas, Coming for You, Phineas. what were we listening to? There's so much pop coming through, like mainlining pop with my kid, that, and Taylor Swift, sure, for sure. Listening to the, and I was like, what Post Malone got me through the pandemic. So that was a strangely, like it also tinged my songwriting, just because like those songs were like my lifeboat on some days, but as were so many of the songs I was listening to. And I would go on long dog walks and listen to whatever at the time it was. And that ended up infused, you know, coming into my songwriting.
I love it. I love this record so much. I love that you're already talking about other things a little bit. Like, again, we know that the vault stuff might be still around there and whatever else you got brewing. I mean, if this is a new chapter, I'm so on board. So I cannot wait to hear what's next. Sleepwalker is so good. Louise, thank you so much for continuing to do what you do and for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you, Kyle. Thanks for having me. It's always a joy.
And my thanks, Louise Post. Head further down this podcast series, and you'll also find our interview from last year as we talked about one of her vault releases in the Kyle Meredith With podcast with Louise Post. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. One of my recent shows had the music of The Jam, Gotta Buy Voices, Spoon, Bjork, Sneaker Pimps, Lauryn Hill, Slater Kinney, Paul Westerberg, Bat for Lashes, Concrete Blonde, Howard Jones, White Reaper, Genesis Owusu, and an interview with Toby Bamtefa. He plays Bunny in Mayor of Kingstown. That's just an example of one recent show that you can get every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also find me on the social media spots. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
I drink out of proper ceramic coffee mugs, so it had to be that for me.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.